Accession number 13358, Mr. H. Wilkinson, Reel 17.
Mr. H. Wilkinson, Reel 17. You arrived in Durham. What was this little unit you joined?
Well, it was just remnants of what had been, well, what was left of various actions by the battalion. And there was, as I said, two or three of these chaps had been in the cornfield. They were there. They'd been wounded and posted back up.
How were you settling down after all the activity that you'd had?
Quite easily, yes. Uh-huh.
You were having no problems with the settling in process?
No.
Away from danger and everything?
No, it almost seemed like coming into a little company that you'd been with previously. Although there was quite a few that I didn't know the names, but they'd been in that area at that time, and obviously wounded and returned home, leave, and posted to that depot.
What were you doing there?
It's a little bit of light training. I suppose that was the idea with them being wounded, that they were gradually being built up again, maybe with a possible view to various medical examinations, whether for discharge or continuing in another grade, in another unit, perhaps even as second line or third line troops.
How long were you there?
I should think maybe a week, 10 days at most. And of course I was just acting as sergeant, doing whatever I was asked to do or told to do, and I used to get an occasional sleeping out pass, whereby I could come back home to Ferry Hill, and if I wasn't coming home, just depended what shift the wife was on, whether I went home or not. You know, sometimes they change shifts. Well, if she wasn't at home, there's no point. So I'd just go down the road, maybe a mile, maybe a bit less, to Cock of the North Hotel. This officer, who'd been my sergeant, Tug Wilson, we were more like friends than anything else, really, after what we'd all gone through, you know. When we were off on duty, we were on duty. When we were off duty, we were off duty. And RSM and Sergeant Major, there was like the four of us used to drink together and then make our way back. And I remember this particular time I'd had a sleeping out pass. And buses and that, at times were a bit erratic, and you had to hope for the best. It wasn't always the turned up, I think. But anyway, I'd got the bus and I'd got back, and I'd been dropped at the road end, and I had to dash up to the right from where I'd been dropped up to the golf course. I just made it in on parade, all sweaty and in a hurry. And obviously I'd had a bit of lipstick on my cheek. The wife had kissed us goodbye. I remember saluting and reporting to the Sergeant Major, and he says, "You bloody made it, but nobbit bloody just." From there, I think I was posted down to Leonsea into Civvy Billets. And there was a corporal in charge of the house that we were in. There were semi-detached houses. We were in one and the Civvy family were in another. And very pleasant. I can't quite recall the name. I think there's a postcard somewhere about the house even yet. It's something Boulevard. There were like the two main lines of houses, and it was divided. The road was wide, but divided by a narrow green strip with a crossing point here and there, and there were trees interspersed in these strips. Very pretty.
Had you been downgraded medically?
No. No. That's rather remarkable. I was A1 when I went in. I went in at 8 stone 8. I finished up grade 1 at 8 stone 8. And that was it. But the thing was, when I got back to work and being in the building trade, many a time as you went up, you had to lift heavy concrete sills, and as you went up over concrete heads, if you weren't walling them in brickwork. The thing was, though, somebody had to put the bed on to set them on, and if I was holding one end and another bricklayer was putting the bed on and the labourer was holding the other end, the sooner I got shot of the weight, the better, because it seemed, and even up to quite, well, I'm saying recently, being the way I am, I'll say a few years ago now, right, but if I was lifting anything heavy and I had to hold it, I felt as though I was tearing apart at this right-hand side. And it's the same with similar with the hand that I had broken, a left hand, left wrist. If I had to hold on to anything with that for long, it was heavy, I got that tearing sensation.
How long were you at Leonsea?
I should think ten days to a fortnight. I know we made friends with this lady next door. I can't remember her surname. They called her Winnie, and her husband. It'll be on the postcard, because we used to write.
What were you doing there?
Little or nothing.
Were you still with the regiment?
I had my tapes up. And it was just a matter of resting and keep myself reasonable, having a look round town.
Where did you go to from there?
Yes, I left Leonsea. I was posted to the West Yorks as a sergeant instructor. And I can't for the life of me remember the time or the date or where it was I even joined them now. I just know I ended up there, and the commanding officer was a Major Musgrave. I think he was a Stockton chap. He was a short, leathery, darkish chap, very agile, because to us he seemed fairly old, as, well, he'd been a regular. He kept you on your toes.
How long were you there with the West Yorks?
Well, I should imagine it'd be getting on into 45, and I was demobbed, I think, 46, round about April to early May, 46. Anyway, I know we ended up at Porthcawl, and there was two big hotels there in the main, on the main seafront. I think one was the Ocean, and that was the largest of the two at the top end of the town, more towards the railway station end, and farther on along towards the golf links, there was the Sea View. I think it's the Sea View I was posted into. And we started taking, getting intakes that we trained for a few weeks. RAF, heavy infantry, even some naval. And we trained them up to light infantry standards. And as soon as we'd done that, I just forget how many weeks it were. I'm not sure whether it was about 9 weeks or so, or 13 weeks. And then we got a long weekend to ourselves.
Where were these men earmarked to go?
Well, it was rumoured that they were trained to go to the Far East. But once we'd seen, finished with them, they left the camp. What happened to them after that, I don't know. But I remember we took this second intake and trained them up. And we got some naval officers in. What to call them? Yeah. Anyway. They tried to find out what rank they were, whether they had to come to our mess, senior NCO's mess, or the officer's mess. Anyway, it turned out that they were between sergeant and company sergeant major, their naval rank, so they were stuck with us in our mess. And as I say, we trained this party up, and instead of dispatching them, we got an embarkation leave. And we came back off that, and we were going to Italy as garrison troops. And there was an officer, myself, and it'll be a platoon. Yes. And we got, I remember two of them were ex-artillery sergeants. One was a much taller chap than the other one. Taller than me as well, by quite a bit. And we were going up on the train to Port Glasgow. And this sergeant told me he wasn't very well. And I said, well, I'll see the officer and see if we can get the train stopped. He said, no, he says, I think I'll manage all right. I asked him a time or two and he's quite adamant that he'd manage. Anyway, we got off the train and down to the docks. And the ship was the New Holland. I think it was spelled N-U-E or N-U-I, Holland. It was a smaller ship than I'd been on before. But to cut a longer story short, this sergeant became quite ill. So I told the officer, and we had to make arrangements to get him to hospital, which we did pretty quick. And he died. It had ended up with a burst ulcer, peritonitis.
You went on to Italy?
Yes, we crossed in the New Holland to Italy, yes.
And where in Italy were you stationed?
I remember arriving in the Naples area, and we went through a little village called Afragola, which was bandit country. It means that rub anything on anybody. We got past there and we're under canvas lit by lanterns, storm lanterns, and we were told we could have a bottle or two of wine, which was sherry mainly. So we had a few drinks of that and felt quite warm and retired for the night. And then next day we moved on down to a place called Castle Amara. Quite a pretty port side place, not far from Barry, where the ammunition ships had gone up. And the volcano was a background to it. And we were doing garrison duties. The guards, you were off one guard. You were lucky if you got 2 hours, never mind four. If you got 4 hours, that was a day off. And it was more or less come off one guard, clean up and go on to another. Of course, you did what they called a heavy guard, then you got a lighter one. Then you got a lighter one. You might get a day off now and again. If you were fortunate to come off guard, say, in the evening, you could go down into town.
What were you guarding?
Well, we're guarding stores, mainly. Oh, there were some hellish big stores. But the robbers were getting in. But as it turned out, there were sewers everywhere, both outside the buildings and some inside. And some of the troops that we'd taken over from, they were absolutely jittery. Things going missing. And eventually I ended up on an inquiry, SIB, and believe you me, talk about interrogation. But I was cleared absolutely, fortunately. And in the end, my conduct was exemplary. I got a really good conduct appraisal of the Major. Major Harrison, as it was then. It came that the Sergeant Major that was there was finishing. He was going home, and I had to take over. And I took over from there.
Did you have the rank of Sergeant Major?
No. The funny part about it is, Harry, I felt cheated all along the line. Because I was paid corporal. I was sergeant. Acting sergeant. And sergeant, acting company sergeant major. And when I... just before I was due to come home, there'd been, I'd already gone through this procedure with the SIB. There'd been some pilfering going on while I was in charge as a sergeant of this guard. And there was a chap, he was a farmer. And his mother was a widow. They'd been running this farm. And they'd had Italian prisoners working the farm with them. And he'd become quite fluent with Italian. And I think maybe he'd been down the bars and they'd got talking and this, that and the other. But anyway, some bags of coffee had gone. And they were £1,000 apiece at that time. Hence the SIB inquiry. And however, a plot was set for them. And this other sergeant, Sergeant Harry Horn, they called him, he was a Yorkshireman, and he was born the same time, the same day, same year as me. Sergeant Harry Horn from Yorkshire. However, this plan had been set to catch them, and it came off. And they were up on the roof of one of the outbuildings of this depot, and they'd been told to halt, be fired at, and they wouldn't. And this lad had jumped and broke both his bloody legs. The others came down. Some scrambled down somewhere and twisted ankle, and some of them were unscathed. And strangely enough, I had that chap's B release on my desk for him to go home. He would have gone home the same time as me if he hadn't been caught.
When did you leave Italy, Mr. Wilkinson?
Well, I think it would be after Christmas. And
1945.
Made our way up to Austria, to a place called Leoben. We were billeted in the station, like station masters. No, it was the hotel Bahnhof at Leoben. Low beamed, typical Austrian place, and there was an old gentleman and his wife. I always remember them. A nice, homely looking couple. I think the war had nothing to do with them at all. They were into their 80s, getting on towards 90, I should think. And the old lady sort of looked after me like a son, I don't know why, and the old gentleman was very affable. And that was where we were billeted. There was a big old Austrian barracks, just a little piece down the road. And the troops were in there. And our senior NCOs were in the hotel. I used to go down, put them on parade and dish the duties out and whatever. Company orders, etc., etc., as usual. And I'd probably take them and drill them in the square. And I'd get an NCO to open the gates, the big iron gates. It was typical Austrian barracks. Hard looking, you know, grey stone buildings, very frugal. Altogether the outlook, and the inlook, come to that. I'd set them off marching around the square, take them through the gates and march them up through the bit village. I always remember the first time I took them outside, there was quite a lot of Austrians and I was barking the orders out. And I think they must have expected a fella about 18 stone and about 6 foot. When they saw me shouting the orders from behind, it was quite a surprised expression and quite a muttering. And I could hear them saying, Kleiner Feldwebel, which meant little sergeant major in Austrian or German. Anyway, I was there for about 4 months and then I got my papers for the mob. And trained from there. I had about 6 chaps to bring back with me, and we made our way to a place called Villach in Austria, which seemed to be a camp that collected odds and sods and parties from all various companies, regiments or whatever, for demob, return to UK for one reason or another. And I think we would be in that camp for about roughly a week, maybe 10 days at most, near as I can recollect. And we got on a train and came back overland across the rest of Austria and on through into Germany, never getting off the train. I think we must have been on a train about 4 to 5 days, you know. It was absolutely packed. Eventually, we landed at Calais, and he trained there. And I spent some time in a little camp right near to the coast itself overnight. And next morning, we were sorted out a bit and put on a boat to cross the channel. Landed at Dover, more or less the same procedure, in a camp and overnight, and issued with our papers and that our warrants the next day. And I made my way up from there to, I think it was a place called Hayden Bridge, which was the depot for the West Yorks at that particular time, up in Northumberland. When camped there overnight, then we were interviewed by an officer in the morning, and we got our various warrants to go down to York, and that was where we got issued with our demob suits.
Were you medically examined before, immediately before you came out of the army?
Yes, that was all done.
And did you pass out okay?
I went in A1 at 8 stone 8. And according to them, I came out A1 at 8 stone 8. But I think if they touched you before you went in, you were warm, you were in. I think the same applied when you came out.
Can you take me through the demob procedure?
Well, we got off the train in York, obviously. Transport was from the station down to the demob centre. I can't recall exactly what position it was or what part of York. But I remember getting off the wagons, and it was like a great big warehouse with all these racks of clothes and counters with underwear and all such as that on, and there was racks behind the counter with underwear on, and the top, if I remember correctly, the top racks were full of Trilby hats and caps or whatever, whatever you want to choose. And I had my eye on a lovely piece of cloth. It was like a silvery grey. And I said, well, there was somebody in charge going around with a few of you, you know, more or less keeping an eye on you and asking if you fancied that one, this one, or were you taking this, that, or the other. And, I said, look at that. I said, I think that'll be about my size. I said, I fancy that straight away. He says, well, try it. Well, I don't know who it was being made for, but it didn't fit me. It was too small even for me. I was so disappointed. He says, yes, there was only two, and the other one went. The other one went before you came in. This part came. Well, eventually I got fitted up with what I thought was best for me. And it was a sort of blue, more to the dark side than the light, and it had like a faint orangey stripe in it, the line. And it wore well. Of course, I had the underwear, a shirt and tie, complete to a Trilby hat, and the whole lot lasted me for years. Of course, it was pretty obvious. Everybody knew it was in the mob suit. Well.
Did you retain any of your uniform?
Yes. I kept, I had a battle dress and a greatcoat. Yes.
Were you charged for keeping those?
I don't think so. I don't think so, no. I think they were your own personal wear, and I think they let you off with that. If they didn't, I didn't know about it. What they charged me for, I didn't miss.
What money were you given at the end of your service?
I think it would be about 40, 42 pounds, a few shillings maybe, as far as I can remember. That was the gratuity that I received.
Were you given anything else at all?
No, not that I can remember. I know one thing I do remember, that while I was in Austria, I bought bits of presents to bring home, lighters and various things, stockings for the wife and odds and ends for the family. And while we were travelling home on the train, and it must have been when I'd fallen asleep, I never missed it till I come to get off to go to the camp for the night at Haydenbridge, the depot. And I came to pick my small pack up and it wasn't there. The whole lot had gone, all me bits of presents, everything. I don't know who the clefty waller was, but I never got anything back.